Welcome to Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love. Spoken of by many as one of the greatest living masters of the backflower remedies, he has the oldest ongoing classes with the remedies in the world, 40 years, and has worked with over 100,000 people. He will be showing us how to recognize and heal our shadow side and the emotional baggage we all carry, using the advanced protocols he has developed with the Love Healing System. To learn more, please visit his website at www.drericlove.com for more information. Now, here is our host, Dr. Eric Love.
God bless us all here, and thank you for letting me come into your home and speak to your heart tonight. Let's begin with a prayer. Lord, bless this work we'll do tonight and make it meaningful to people and show us that your secrets, your hidden secrets about how healing really works. And give us the gift of love and grace and the healing that you give, and help us to be receptive so that we can receive it. In his holy name, amen. And for the FDA, this show and any information you hear is not designed to treat, cure, or diagnose disease. If you have a medical problem, go to a medical doctor, or if you're in the appropriate state, you can go to a naturopath who is a licensed primary care physician. And hello to Hassan and Rose in England. That was Rose's voice that you just heard. She's pregnant, and Hassan and her are married, and they're celebrating their new life together. And God bless you, Hassan and Rose. God bless Sky in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, and Mihai in Germany. I love you very much. You're a wonderful person. One of my best students. Shout out to Mario, who is just too cool for school. Greg in Montana. Montana, that's where we discuss grizzly bears. Everybody's got a grizzly bear or a big animal story in Montana. Anna Marie in Arizona. Anya in Poland. Mark, who is in either England or Brussels or Denmark. Don't know which tonight. And Anna Marie's message absolutely melts my heart. I just have to tell her that every time I talk to her. She has the best message machine I have ever heard. Message. How the remedies work, I wanted to talk about, first of all. I had a student in Santa Monica, and she was a total doormat. I think I may have told you this story before, but people walked all over her, her daughter, her husband, her boss. And my class was a Wednesday night class for about 3 hours every Wednesday night. And you know, so she took that class and put her on remedies. And towards the end of the class, she came and told me, when the class was forming one Wednesday night, she said, Dr. Love, I am totally assertive now. I resolved that issue of being a doormat. I said, well, hey, that is way cool. She said, yeah. I said, let me, she said, I told my daughter, I straightened her out. I straightened my husband out, and I straightened my boss out. In fact, I'm quitting my job. I'm getting a divorce. I said, my God. She said, yeah, I don't have any issues with being assertive anymore. I said, well, thank God. I said, do me a favor. Tell the class, and the class was just forming, so I put her up front, and I said, tell everybody how you did this. So she began to talk. She talked 15 minutes, and she said, well, I decided this, and I decided that, and I went through this, and they treated me this way and that way, and I learned this and that. And she told about all the inner changes she went on the inside of herself. She went through, and the processing she went through to come to this point where she's now assertive and has boundaries, has good boundaries. So when she was done, she said, oh, I told the class, I said, notice, she never mentioned the remedies once. The point is that when you take the box flowers and you take them accurately with the right protocols, the ones that I've developed through the years, they're going to help trigger you to process. It has nothing to do with the remedies. It's the natural process that you need to go through in order to heal the stuff that you need to heal. And so it's about getting you, Dr. Friend, who's a psychiatrist who studies with me, she says the action of the remedies is to stimulate and catalyze you to go ahead and process and work through the issues that you need to work through. Emotional healing is more like going to a school. You need a teacher, not a doctor. You know, the word for doctor, the word doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, is a Latin word. But it means teacher. It doesn't mean doctor. It means teacher. When you're doing the healing on the emotional spiritual conflict that we have inside, you need to go to school. And you need someone to teach you. It's kind of like if you wanted to learn to fly a helicopter, or you wanted to learn to be an accountant or something, you'd go to school and you need a teacher. You need someone to show you because it's too technical, too complicated just to do it on yourself. You can do the superficial stuff on yourself. But if you're doing the really deep stuff to bring you to that really, really deep healing that you need, you need a teacher, and you need, in your mindset, you need to change your mind that you're not just trying to fix something. You need to learn something, too, because the emotional component has to do with growing and changing and learning and becoming a new person, which is what our own soul wants us to do. Okay. Let's tell a poem here. Around your feet, look around your feet. You see the desert cactus and feel the flowing sand upon the earth. Look around again. You see the people who are with you and beside you. You see the situations and conditions that you think are causing all your pain. Yet how little that you know. The situations come from deep within you. Something deep inside you is drawing this, is pulling this to you. You know so much, have learned so much about the world and work and time. It is, you do not know yourself. These ancient codes and patterns that you carry in your bones. Secrets never spoken in the desert night. Mistreatment and abuse. Yet something deep inside you is pulling this to you. Desert sun spreads out its warmth among the cactus and the sand. You stand upon the desert path and drink the solar wonder as an energy of life. To fill the heart with light and warmth and pulses of the solar wind, to bake in all this force of life. Yet something deep inside you is drawing all this chaos and this negative to you. It is not them, it's you. Something deep inside you, some program, some blueprint, an effervescent magnet drawing to you now the situation that you see. Pity is, you barely understand the workings of your heart. You have not learned the truth of who you really are. Someday, when we have finally turned within, in peace and harmony now flowing as a mountain wind. Our hearts so full of love and warmth. Our soul our dearest friend. I like that poem. That's really deep. I want to talk to you about a homie. Excuse me. That poem, deep and heavy. Fan myself a little bit here. A homeopathic drainage of anger. Okay. That's where you take Elizabeth Clare Prophet, who's a great spiritual teacher, who's passed away now. I used to work with her, you know, with the remedies and the healing. I'm very honored to be able to work with her. And she had this phrase she called core anger. And everybody has it. It's like a reservoir of ancient anger that we have inside. Eventually, you get to it as you go through the healing process. When you have the anger and it's coming up, the protocols that I can teach you will allow you to do what's called a homeopathic drainage of anger, where you process it through over time. I had a girlfriend one time in Brentwood, and she had a son who was the meanest child I think I've ever met, most hateful, meanest, angry child I think I've ever met. We put remedies together for him, and she gave him those remedies. And at the end of 8 months, the last time that I saw her, because we ended up breaking up, it wasn't really meant to be. And the last time I saw her, I was blown away. He was the absolute sweetest kid you'd ever meet. All that anger was gone. He was bringing us cookies and tea, and making sure we were comfortable. It's so nice, I couldn't believe it. That's called a homeopathic drainage of anger. It's also called a thorough constitutional transformation. That's where you take the deepest acting negative inside of a person, and you heal it, and it turns into the actual virtue of the most dominating man that I've ever met, his wife and I. She gave him the remedies we picked out, and after about 5, 6 months, he was no longer dominating. She told me, and I didn't experience him as being dominating, which is what we're going to get into tonight, the first of the dominating remedies. That's called a thorough constitutional transformation. See, people think when they use the remedies, because they do it in a superficial way, and they think, well, if I got a problem, I'll use some remedies. You know, I'm depressed, I got anxiety, whatever, fear, I'll use remedy. And it's okay to do that, but that's kind of on a superficial level. What we're doing is much deeper. Most people are not that aware of what the ancient Chinese call the underworld ghost river, is your traumas of your childhood, and the family patterns, the genetic energy family patterns that pass down the generations. That's what I say how to work with. It's also called inner child work. I show you how to do the best inner child work I think you probably ever experience in your life. That's what I tell everybody. Shadow work. To get the thorough constitutional transformation and to get the deep healing in the core of your soul. Much I tell people, any of the students who study with me, I always tell them it's going to be one of the most dramatic healings of your entire life. And it usually ends up that way. Personally, I'm the only person you will meet who will say that I have peace inside. I'm not perfect, and I've got my flaws. And for those of you who may be interested, I am now taking the dominating remedies for being dominated. Keep that peace handled inside of me. But I have peace inside. And I work on myself. And when the karmas open up, I work them through. I'm healthy. I'm happy. I have my life work. And that's what I show you how to do, to find your life work, for you to have peace inside, for you to become healthy and happy and whole. When the karmas open up, and I want to... me tell you some things about karma. First thing I want to tell you is that there's a story from ancient India about a king by the name of Zarathustra. And Zarathustra was a king, but he was also a great yogi. And it was during the time of Krishna, the way the story goes, and he had disciples. And he told his disciples one day that he could see back 100 lifetimes, and he could not see the actions that he did that caused him to be born blind in this lifetime. And just then, Lord Krishna appeared in a flash and gave him the ability to see back 110 lifetimes. There it was. So what happens is in this lifetime, we don't choose the events of our life. They're chosen by the flowing pen of God. God writes the script of our life. And all the great masters of the East will tell you that all the major events of this lifetime are predestined. What you do with them is your own business, your own free will. But they're going to happen to you regardless. The length of your life, all the great masters of the East will tell you, is determined by the number of breaths that you take, the time of your death, and the way you die is predestined before you were even born. We don't choose when we're going to die. God chooses when it's our time. The diseases, the emotional suffering, these things are from the flowing pen of God. God sends us these things for a reason. The experiences, the conditions, the situations we're put in, God sends us in these situations and puts us into these situations because there's something he's trying to teach us. There's something we're supposed to learn following action and reaction of actions that we have put out in the past. The way karma works, some people are ugly, some people are beautiful, some people are rich, some people are very poor, living in the slums of some horrible city in South America. Some people are very sick, some people are very healthy, some people are waiting on the table, others are being waited on, some are old, some are young, all from the flowing pen of God. If you don't like the situation, then it's God you need to talk to and begin to work things out and get a deeper connection with God. Because the purpose of human life is God realization and self-realization straight across the board. The karma that we're going through that causes our disease, our emotional pain, and our physical pain, God's trying to teach us something. He's trying to get some lesson. There's something going on that we need to learn. As you begin to learn that lesson, one of my favorite stories is the lady who had all the pain, signed up for my course, and then told me, "Dr. Love, I don't know. Neither her nor I, we couldn't figure out why she had the pain. She's terrible. She called it fibromyalgia. Terrible body pain." Within about a month, between a month and a half, she told me, "Hey, the reason I've got this pain is I'm absorbing my husband's negative energy." So I said, "Well, that sounds, that sounds right to me. I mean, you know," and I listened, and, you know, and then she went and talked to her husband, because she's a good Christian woman, and she talked to him. He's a good Christian man. He said, "Gee, honey, I'm sorry." He knew the pain she was in. And he says he promised he wouldn't do it anymore, and he didn't. He didn't put his negative energy on her anymore. And her pain just vaporized. It was like a month and a half. It was like totally gone. God was trying to teach her there was something she needed to handle. And she needed to become assertive. I'd given her all the remedies for becoming assertive and shielding, ones we've been talking about. Gave her a bunch of those. And she got all that resolved, and then the whole thing just vaporized. Karma surfaced when it's time. And if you have any questions, you're welcome to send me an email, medicinewind.11@gmail.com. I've got my tablet sitting here staring at me, so if you got a question you need to ask. Karma surface when you're scheduled to surface. I had a woman come and sit in my table in my dining room in Santa Monica, lived close to the ocean, took a walk on the beach every day, 365 days a year, put my feet in the water and walked along the cliffs there, down by the ocean, Santa Monica. She came and she told me that she was 45 years old. She went with her daughter. She was going to get a coat. Her daughter put on the coat, and she said, "Don't buy that coat." The daughter said, "Why not?" She said, "Because it has a Nazi SS swastika on the back." She said, daughter said, "No, it doesn't. It's got a bird on the back." She said, "No, it's a Nazi SS swastika. Don't buy that coat." She said she went home, and the memories opened up, just like she was watching, like a movie on TV. She said that she was a little girl under 5 in Hungary when the Nazis came in. She was blonde hair and blue-eyed, and they would come in and shoot the people. And she said, "You don't know what it's like getting up and walking across all these bodies, all these people got shot." She said, "You don't know what that's like." I said, I can't imagine. She said, "And you don't know what it's like," because they would take it, go, "Oh, no, this girl, she's Aryan. She's got blonde hair and blue eyes." And then they'd take and, you know, to put her in a home or something with German family. She said, "You don't know what it's like to crawl up through the bodies of the dead people on top of you to try to get away." They didn't shoot her, although she had been shot. I think she'd been shot twice and stabbed once, or stabbed twice and shot once. It's so long ago, I don't remember. And all this stuff opened up. Now she's trying to work on it. So karmas will open up. And now you've got this job of figuring out what it is God's trying to teach you, what you're supposed to learn from this situation. Karmas will open up week by week, not so heavy, but every week or every couple weeks, something new will come down the pipe and open up. I call these, you know, pull in the records and open the file, open in the files. There's issues that you need to deal with, because of life, because you think like, oh, well, it's all about making money. Oh, it's all about me setting up the practice. Oh, it's all about me finding a man to love me. Oh, it's all about getting pregnant. Oh, it's all about... But the truth is, the biggest thing is finding God and finding ourselves. And also, the school of life where we learn about, you know, how not to be so dominating, and how not to be so mean, and how not to hurt other people, how not to let people dominate us and walk all over us. The karma surface when it's time. And check this out. There's an underworld ghost river, what the Chinese call it, that we're talking about. I had a class in Sarasota. It was like 15, 18, 20 people. And I said, "How many of you guys don't remember certain sections of your childhood?" It was most everybody. So I went to each person and I said, "What sections do you not remember?" So, "Well, I don't remember anything before 5. And I don't remember anything before 10. And some people, I don't remember anything from age 8 or 9 all the way up to 13. And one lady couldn't remember anything from about 17, 18 all the way up to 22, 23. And so I went around and I asked everybody, "Why can't you remember?" And after a lot of deliberation, the people said, "Well, it's because it was so heavy. It was so heavy and technically complex, because you're supposed to love your mom and dad, but then they're hurting you. There's all this dysfunction, all this pain that's there in the family unit." And I said, "You ever met anybody from a Nazi concentration camp?" And many of the people answered that they tell you about the stories of the concentration camp. Most of the time, they'll talk your ear off. It's good therapy for them. I said, how come the Nazis people in a Nazi concentration camp can remember what happened to them? But you guys, you can't remember what happened to your children. And they thought about it, and the answer was, everybody said, was it in the childhood? It's worse. It's worse because these are your mom and dad that you love and feel so dear and so close to. And how can they? The child has to have a beautiful version that everything's fine. Oh, isn't that a poem? I'll deny. When you deny the feelings of your heart and try to make it all work out by going on and pushing on to get things done, and do not stop to feel, you leave your deep emotions far behind in canyons filled with rock and stone. Today, to step upon the desert path again and feel the depth of sun that falls across your face, your skin, your breath, the gift of earth beneath your feet, the gentle, silent breeze that streaks across the desert ground, embracing life into your lungs and breath, the pulse of truth that wants to flow across your heart. How can you know your truth if you refuse to feel? The way you lock your heart, your feelings down, and live in busy, busy spin of town. The way your breath grows short, your neck and back grow tight, your mind goes numb against the desert wind. Why don't you stop and touch the gentle flowers of the desert plants? Why don't you stop to learn about yourself, your own true self? Find out about the person buried deep inside your soul, inside your breath, your heart, the person who you really are. The flowers will soon fall away so quickly in the shades of time. The person who you really are, so much, so long denied. That was deep too. Whoa. All right. Let's switch gears and go into the dominating remedies. We've been handling remedies. I think it's about like 9 remedies for parasitic infestation. People, protection and shielding from people taking your pill. It's one of the greatest of all causes of disease is people taking your energy and you not standing up for yourself or drawing your boundaries or protecting or shielding yourself. And then as a result, your soul sends you physical conditions and pain and hurt to get you to wake up and go get your boundaries handled. Now we're going to go into the opposite. We're going to talk about the people who are dominating, who take your power and suck your energy. I used to be dominating. I used to be so dominating. When I was about 18, I was in Berkeley, and I'd walk into a room that had women in it. And they turn around and they go, freak out. And I go, like, what are you talking about? And they go, you're so dominating. And I go, I didn't open my mouth. But, you know, I had these boots and I marched in like a, you know, stormtrooper. And I was so confident and all that stuff. Thank God for the Bach remedies. I don't really think, I take the dominating remedy sometimes. So I'm not really dominating. Just sometimes it creeps up a little bit. And to be on the dominating rim, you shouldn't have to be real dominating. Just enough dominating that it's something that we need to handle this month. Dominating means to control. It means a person is controlling you. They're edging. You may be talking to them, and you may be like, you want to exchange some energy and get some messages and do some business or whatever with them, or just be friendly with them. But they have an agenda, and the agenda is they want to edge closer to you and control you. That's what they're about. And you see that with animals. A dog will control, you've got to be the alpha dog. The horses, who's the top horse? The chicken's fighting to be the one who's in control. And in our society, they encourage it. For you to be dominating and controlling everybody. You think it's like cool. That's the way a businessman is supposed to be. Well, truth is, it's toxic. Because if you're sucking other people's karma, if you're sucking other people's energy, that's bad juju. It's bad medicine. It's going to react on you. And it's going to cause you pain and suffering. It's one of the big causes of disease. The original cause of disease, and pain, and suffering. This is too God darn dominating. It's like arrogant. It's like pride. It's like a cruelty. Why? Those are the spiritual defects. Some of the spiritual defects. And these are remedies that you use for that. We're going to talk about chicory tonight, probably into next week, unless I finish it tonight. Chicory's bossy and bossy, dominating, but they feel rejected easily. We're going to talk about heather, who's dominating, but they just want you to hear them while they talk about their problems. You can't get a word in edgewise. Self-centered. Both chicory and heather are self-centered. And then we'll go into vine. There's four dominating remedies. Vine is the remedy for military officer, police officer, big control remedy. And vervain's controlling, but vervain's also a workaholic, and they're just really enthusiastic, and they just like to get on top of you. They're not bossy. They just get on top of you and control you. So I had this Jewish woman, Orthodox Jewish woman, came to me when I was in L.A., and we did remedies for herself. And she had about 8 children and her husband. She'd come every month, and we did remedies all around. But she had this newborn baby, and she told me, she said, my baby, and I don't know, like a month, couldn't have been more than 2 or 3 months, but a month old, but a tiny little thing. She said, definitely couldn't walk, because probably 1 or 2 months. My baby, she told me, is the most dominating thing I have ever seen in my life. She said, when baby wants to nurse, he screams and demands and just makes your life a living nightmare, hell, until you come over and nurse him. He is so bossy and so dominating. I said, well, let's do some dominating remedies. So she took the remedies for the baby, and, you just put them on the baby's wrist. You don't have to put it in the mouth. Anytime it touches you, the flowers, anytime they touch your body, it's a dose. So she came back the next month for remedies, and I said, well, what happened with baby? She said, oh, my God, she said, he is no longer dominating. And I said, you're kidding me. She said, no. He said, he'll cry and scream at me. He wants to nurse. I look at him, and he stops and gets this big smile on his face. He got busted, see? He gets this big smile on his face, and he stops and is respectful and waits until she, you know, she can come to nurse him. Very, very cool. Why do people dominate? I always, when I'm in class, I always ask this, and think about it. I'm going to give you the answers that usually the class comes up with, the ones that I have come to find. First of all, when the person was a child, sometimes the only way they could ever be heard was to scream and be loud and control everybody. It's the only way they could be heard in any way, shape, or form. So, carried over to adulthood. You know, another reason is because when you fall in pride and you become prideful and arrogant, which is a spiritual defect, because you want to have humility instead of pride and arrogance, vanity. And when you fall into pride and arrogance, you're probably going to end up being dominated. So it's part of that spiritual defect. The other reason people are dominating is because when a person controls you, they can get your energy, they can suck your energy. Control is like an occult ritual. It's the control war is able to suck and feed off of the person who's the controlee, the person who's being controlled. They take your power and suck your energy. When they're, to see what you want to have. And what Mark always tells me in Brussels with his company, he learned this at Harvard where he got an MBA in business. He said, I always make sure between us it's a win-win between you and me, or between me and whoever I'm doing business with. I think it's just so cool. The dominating person is, no, I win and you lose. And once you lose, you begin to lose. It's an occult ritual thing where the energy that you have is transferred over to the dominating person. Now, I get up in the morning and I meditate. I take a walk in the desert. I do photography with the beautiful flowers. I do my Dr. Murphy prayers. I listen to motivational tapes. I work hard. I eat my health food. I drink lots of water. I work hard at being healthy. And I work hard at keeping my mind a really positive, good, strong place. A person who's dominating doesn't really do those things. They're generally they're kind of like weak, and they need energy. And the way, easiest way to get energy, quite often, is to get it from their wife or their child or whoever happens to be around. And one of the biggest reasons people are dominating is because when you're dominating, you never have to face your pain. We never have to face what's going on with you because you're busy gaming the people around you, playing the people around you, sucking your energy and taking the power. Before we go into the dominating room, let me tell you one thing that came to me this week. It's really cool, kind of an aside. Dr. Murphy, and everybody who is listening to this should get Dr. Murphy's book, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, the best book in the world. To help you to learn to work with your subconscious. The only book in the world you can give to a person who has a physical disease, and just because they're reading that book, they're going to start getting better. The only book in the world that'll do that. I love Dr. Murphy. Get that book anywhere. The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. So I was listening on Audible. He's got about 6 books out on the Audible. They're about 7 hours each, and this one was on self-esteem and confidence. But he told the story of going up into Canada and talking to a waiter up at a hotel there in Canada, in a resort hotel, and the waiter said that there was a millionaire come from the East Coast in the United States that would come to the hotel, and he was mean to all the waiters. He never tipped anybody. He was nasty, and he was mean. And he decided that he was going to kill this man with kindness and love. So this is what he told Dr. Murphy that he did. He repeated over and over when he served this man, because he was a waiter, I see the God in you, and you see the God in me. God loves you and cares for you. And he repeated that over and over. And he said that before the man went back to the East Coast, he called him over and he said, John, I have to tell you, you are the best waiter I have ever had in my life. And he gave him a $500 tip. So I got a lot of my dinner. Anytime you're dealing with people who are difficult, causing you pain, you can use this. And I've used it since I got it from Dr. Murphy, this affirmation. And I tell you, it works. It's cool. I see the God in you, and you see the God in me. God loves you and cares for you. Animosity does not have to remember. So I thought I'd share that with you because that was really fun. So let's have another point. And then we're going to go into our first dominating remedy. Remedies. There's four dominating remedies of the dominating group. We're going to take up the first one tonight, Chickpea. Healing. Walk a little further down the desert path and feel the desert midnight with your heart. Time to get out of your head and feel the feelings of your soul and hold these feelings tight. The bird upon the distance calling out to you to step into the universe. The moon above your eyes drawing you to feel your heart. And all the stars that make you touch the wonders of your timeless breath. It's time that you begin to feel and get out of your head and open up your heart and let your feelings now begin to flow. Your feelings, they will speak to you and show you who you are. Your feeling heart will guide you to your truth and to yourself. The feelings you have locked away and stifled for so long. Who are you, really? What is the deeper meaning of your life? Where is the joy and peace and calm and stillness of your life? The grab and get and snatch and hoard, the constant steady running of the busy feet, the silence of the unfulfilled, frustrated longing of the heart, the sad dark eyes of she who's lying to herself. When will your deeper life of peace, fulfillment, and of happiness begin? When will your deeper life of learning truth and seeking self begin? When will you put your lies, denial, and your parlor drugs away? When will you finally stop this hamster wheel of time and go within and seek your truth, yourself, and who you really are? The ancient wondrous knowledge of the self, the deeper meaning of your life, of who you really are, and finally breathe the midnight air upon the desert night, and finally feel the beating of your heart, your truth, your feelings. and start to hear the guidance of your soul. And finally learn to be the person you were really meant to be.
Okay.
Let's go to chicory. First of the dominating remedies. Chicory is bossy, dominating, feels rejected. Those who are very mindful of the needs of others. They tend to be overfull of care for children, relatives, and friends, always finding something that should be put right. They are continually correcting, this is Dr. Bach writing this, what they consider wrong and enjoy doing so. They desire that those for whom they care should be near them. Criticism of others is the first thing. Chickpea is a critical person. He only has two Bach remedies that are critical. One is chicory, and the other is peach. But just critical by nature. They're trying to get love. Chicory's trying to get love, and they're trying to get attention, and they're trying to get love. They just got a toxic thing with this thing about getting love. The guy comes home from work. He calls his wife, honey, I'm looking forward to seeing you. We're going to be intimate tonight. I'm going to love you like you've never been loved. And the wife is so excited, and she puts on something special, and she meets him at the door, and he comes to the door, opens the door, and says, hey, you're getting fat. Why don't you put on something that looks better than what you're wearing? Now she's totally deflated, criticized. She has nothing to give for the rest of the night. That's chicory. Critical of others. And feel rejected easily. The mother, grandmother, I had one student tell me that. She said, oh, my grandmother's chicory. I went over to her house. He went to see her twice a week. He went over to her house. She met him at the front door and said, you never come over and see me. How come you never come over and see me? You're leaving me here. You're leaving me lonely. Why don't you ever come over and see me? I'm so lonely. So there's like a manipulating thing going on there, too. You're manipulating for energy. They're criticizing it for energy. Overcritical of others. Bob gives criticism, not support. Discontent with others. She oozes drops of criticism and put down energy. So the trickery, especially when they're really bad, it's going to be like putting you down. They're going to be just vibing you with this put down stuff. I'm going to run this book right and see it easier. Okay. Discontent with others. Chicory is always, they're about this person's this way and this person's that way. Rejection. See, they're dishing out rejection. She dishes out rejection of others through her critical nature. So Chicory, they feel rejected inside, but they're dishing it out to other people at the same time. Dissatisfaction with others. You're this way, you're that way. Complains about others. Paul always makes you feel there's something wrong with you. It's a vibe. You stand next to a heavy chicory person, they don't even have to open up their mouth and talk to you. You just feel it. You just feel that there's something wrong with you because they put that on it. Wishing to correct. So they're always wanting to correct you. He's always trying to help me, telling me not to do this and not to do that for my own good. Interference by criticizing. She's always criticizing everybody and everything. Sometimes I feel that she's a real bully, a real put-down artist. So the, Chicory is a bully. They can be a bully. I mean, you don't have to be so bad to take the Chicory, but, these are those indications of symptoms. Throws blame. They point the bony finger. Willow does that, and Chicory does that. They point the willows for resentment. They point the bony finger at you. This is your fault. Look what you're doing to me. And they throw guilt to you in order to manipulate you. So that's the first aspect of chicory, possessive. I'm going to take one more aspect, and then I'm going to talk about my courses. Possessiveness. And over the next month or so, month and a half, we're going to get into all these dominating remedies. They're really cool because they cause you a lot of pain, they cause you a lot of stress, a lot of heartache, a lot of stress. Especially chicory, because you go, well, why don't I get the love I need? Well, it's because you're toxic with this chicory stuff. You're always bossing everybody around, trying to correct everybody and criticize everybody. How are they going to even have time to love you? Possessiveness. Heather, which is our next dominating remedy, is possessive. There's only two remedies of possessive. John says, these are my toys. Whoever that is around them, they have to possess them and own them. So there's this possessive on it. My woman, you know. This is my car. These are my toys. You can't touch them. Tell John you can't play with my toys. Ambition is to possess. So they want to marry you, but they really want a possession on you. And then expectations. And Heather has that. We'll talk about Heather next. Willow has that for resentment. She places totally unrealistic expectations on others. So, the chicory is very big on expectations. It's a heavy thing hanging over you when you deal with a chicory person. They expect you to be this way and expect you to be that way. And they're setting up these unrealistic expectations of others. And so this is going to greed. I said pride and arrogance. We got to throw greed in there. Chicory's a remedy also for greed. Greedy for others' possessions. Greedy for others' sympathy. Greedy for others' power. This is a remedy to get the greed out of us. Cool remedy. You got somebody who's a chicory remedy. It's nice to watch this thing work. Let me gag and choke here. I'm sitting here looking at this beautiful desert. I had a guy I worked with from Canada, from Alaska, who told me that this area that I'm actually looking, I'm in the middle of nowhere now, about the train track. And he told me this is the most beautiful area in the whole planet Earth. That's what he told me. I think it's pretty cool. And I'm very comfortable with it. Sitting here talking to you now. Let me say about my courses, because we're just about out of time. We're going to pick up on this chicory next week and talk more about why people are dominating and what it means if people want to control you. It's like a whole big society deal. It's like controlling everybody. Every institution's controlling you. Well, look here. My course is a one-year certification program. We give certified homeopath. We give certified herbalist, certified nutrition consultant, and homeopathic certification in the treatment of animals. I teach you how to use wonderful Bach flower remedies using the protocols and procedures that I have developed. And the way that I do that, and I teach you other things too, I'll tell you about it, but the way I do that is to sit beside you, hold your hand, and walk you through the gateways and the doorways and the portals of your own personal healing. As you go through your own healing, you'll learn how to do the healing on yourself. It's the most important thing, is to be able to heal your own self. Physician, heal thyself. And then the second thing is you'll learn how to do the healing process with other people. We talk. I have a session once a week for a year. We can skip a week here or there. But primarily, we work together once a week. And as we work together, you'll start picking up on it. Within about 2, 3, 4 months, we'll have you start working with other people, and I'll help you with their remedies and get set up. So by the end of the course, you'll be working with a bunch of people. The main thing, most important, is that you'll be working with yourself. You'll know how to work with the karmas on the inner self inside you. And that it's a true apprenticeship that has to do with you and I sitting together and me teaching you by you and I being together, just like a pilot. The pilot teacher sets with you in the airplane, and by sitting beside him in the airplane, over time you'll learn to fly the airplane. Or the piano teacher sits beside you, and over time you learn to play piano. It's a true apprenticeship. I teach you the wonderful SAF, which Louise Hay said was the most powerful system of therapy. These were her words on the entire planet. A wonderful system. It does what Scientology and rebirthing and rapid eye movement and the EFT and the tapping and all these systems are trying, the psychics, all these systems are trying to do, it actually does it. It works with the deep issues on the DNA, the deep issues on the family energy patterns, the deep issues of the traumas of your life. Awesome system, and I teach you that. I teach you the alignment technique, put all the bones of the spine into place, and we'll get most people out of pain. That thing is just too cool for school. And I teach you a wonderful system, Dr. Lorraine Day's system of healing through diet. And there's another diet and nutrition system that I teach you for the healing of people's bodies, their hearts, and their minds. My course is a one-year course, and we give the certified homeopath, certified herbalist, certified nutrition consultant, and the homeopathic certification in the treatment of animals. That's about it. Let me end by saying that as we move into this new world that we're moving into, the bad is getting worse and going down, and the good is going up. And our job is to hook in with the spiritual energies, to move to a higher level, to learn to heal ourselves, to learn to love ourselves, to heal our physical disease, to heal our pain, and to heal our heart and our mind so that we can have peace inside, and to learn to help the people that God sends to us for help. A glorious vision of helping other people and loving other people and learning to finally, truly love ourselves. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you next week on Healing the Heart.
Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love can be heard every Sunday night here on the BBS Radio Network at 6 p.m. PST and 9 p.m. Eastern on Station 1. Please visit his website at www.drericlove.com or call him at 406-585-0774. Thank you for listening.